sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shot.
Why, thank you. These old eyes have still got something. We can keep the target lines in sight. I am Stan Hudson.
I'm John Kurlinski, and we'd like to welcome you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a very lighthearted look at the serious issues of where we came from, creation, evolution, which is right, Big Bang, or from the hands of a loving and caring, intimately involved God. Where do we come from?
Yeah, and those kind of issues also impact where you think you're going on the other end.
It kind
of
does.
If you believe you were pond scum,
speak for yourself.
I'm not speaking for myself. Someone might think that they came from a long line of scum, but you also impact where you're going, which is nowhere. You could be the real ultimate nowhere man.
Well, talking about where you're going, John, we thought it would be about time in our series of talks to talk about where we've come from, our
journeys.
And
where hopefully we're going.
Yeah, that's also a part of the deal, too.
And I think it's kind of fun to give the listeners a little idea who we are and what how we've come to be these two crazy kind of click and clack kind of ideas of radio. Radio Dumb on Life Talk Network, so
Radio
we're just
dumb,
glad
yeah.
to be there. We're not Radio Dumb, but some of them might debate that or question that. I think that we've have done a little bit of study. Let's start with you, Stan. How did you ever come to this point in your life where you now are on the radio doing Sink the Beagle, evolution, creation conversations?
How do two pastors get in front of microphones and do weekly programs for several years now?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, okay, let's talk with me. I have been born and bred in Los Angeles, California, and I kind of was raised on the mother's milk of television.
Oh, like most people of this world today.
Yeah, that's right.
Reality TV.
Reality is TV.
Reality is TV, and back in your day, it was like Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, okay, thanks very much. But actually, that's about right. And we did spend time as a family. We went to theaters, and I was raised in a family where that was a way of entertainment. And so we get all of these different views of the world via Hollywood. And in that formative time in my life, I really, for whatever reason, was just enthralled by Hollywood's view of scientists.
Oh, those really wise, mature, wonderful.
Well,
knowers of all.
Well, not necessarily. If you look at the older movies about scientists, like the 30s, you got the Frankenstein kind of mad scientists that the world was afraid of. But as you move into the 40s and 50s and 60s, the image of Hollywood towards scientists, where they move from the wax to the people who basically would save the world through their wisdom.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
The wonderful scientists. The new and improved.
The new and improved version. And they were all open-minded, great seekers of truth. And in all of that, and I guess I had an innate interest in science, through high school through and into college, I became a geology major.
Ooh, like rocks.
I like rocks. I had my dad had some a rock hound neighbor of his in Northern California that I went to visit a time or two, and he took us up into the Sierra Nevadas, and we dug for quartz crystals and such, and I just had
cool.
a great experience looking for rocks. So I wanted to be a geologist, and on to University of California at Riverside I went.
And you were going to there become one of the world's predominant
yeah,
geologists.
All of those things.
And
I wanted to be a geologist. Well, got well into the program and was learning a lot, enjoying my time there. Then there was a fateful day that came in the mid-70s there when I was a student.
Speaking of dating.
Yeah, actually, early 70s. A geology professor said to the class one day, "We are going to have a guest lecturer come to UCR, and he is going to be speaking tonight on some issues involving geology, and he's a creationist."
And, yeah, his word for idiot.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And when when I saw his expression and heard the tone of him talking, it occurred to me, oh, he doesn't think creationists have much input or much say in this. And you know, and I thought, wait. We started to ask him a few questions. I did have a bit of a creationist leaning, even though I saw evolution and understood the theory, and I thought there may be some problems with it. But anyway, his closed-mindedness to it really bothered me. And as I researched it further, I found out that there were no graduate programs in the United States, short of maybe one at that time that I knew of. It was like the University of Montana or something way out there. That would allow a student to study in a graduate level geology without being a long-age confirmed evolutionist.
You had to think in those terms.
You had to think you had to believe the religion of evolution, or you wouldn't even be allowed in the program. And that so shot my theory and my image of open-minded discussion being the way of life and science, that took the steam out of my sails.
Couldn't bring in catastrophe then as even a valid approach to understanding the geologic column.
There was such a closed-mindedness to it that it was very discouraging. I dropped out of geology and the science program and worked at McDonald's for a while, but then...
You did too, huh?
flipped a few thousand Big Macs. But anyway, during that period of time, the Lord got a hold of me. I went through a wonderful conversion experience, ended up in theology out of geology, became a minister.
That's a change.
Became a minister, eventually got a doctor of ministry degree, but... The Lord kind of brought you and me together at a later date, partly through our wives. We were in a similar college program for dietetics in Andrews University in Michigan.
You wouldn't know us by our waistlines.
You
but
wouldn't
that's okay.
know that, but our wives
bad,
are good
but.
Friends, and that kind of brought us together. And I found out that you had a similar interest in science and religion issues, and let's hear about your story.
Well, I basically came out of a nominal, what I call nominal Christian education. I actually was raised in parochial schools till sixth grade, and then like most of our good students, we went to junior high school and high school and gave up religion altogether and just chased after the world. But one thing that always interested me is where things came from, and part of it probably was instilled by my reading of history. My dad was a soldier in World War II, and I loved reading history books about World War II. My dad died when I was 16, but I thought reading about World War II helped me understand him better.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then all of a sudden I discovered I loved history in general. And I started chasing after a history degree, and I went to the University of Wisconsin satellite in Eau Claire and got a degree in history, always wondering where things came from. And after a stint in the Peace Corps in Nepal and observing different world religions, I decided to say, well, where does life really come from? And I began to look at the fruits of various religions, decided that Christianity made the most sense, kind of talked to God, came to God kicking and screaming, not realizing he was drawing me to him. But after receiving God and said, you got a year to give me joy. If I don't find joy and meaning and purpose, I'm going back. Well, I found it all, and I haven't gone back yet, and I praise God for that. The one thing, though, that happened, though, is in this journey, there was one unanswered question that always kind of bugged me. I studied a lot of history, and I believe the Bible as a historical book, but I always wrestled with the idea of, well, where did evolution come from in creation, and is it real? Is science telling the true story, the whole story? Because that was kind of a conundrum, because I realized that if you believe evolutionary thought, you're in conflict with biblical history and Scripture.
Yep.
So it came kind of from a historical twist. I began to pursue that, and I actually did it for my doctoral degree. I did a history of the of where, because I realized that science developed, as we know it today, empirical science really developed by and large in Western Christian culture.
Yes, it did. Sure did.
Why did a pursuit that started among Christian people, scientists, become so anti-Christian in its approach now in the 20th, 21st centuries? What caused that split? And that was the thesis of my dissertation. And it was interesting to realize that there was many factors, but one of them was abuse by religious organizations of its scientists over the interpretation of Scripture that caused the scientists to throw out the Scripture with the authority, the Church.
So between the two of us, then we bring just enough to be dangerous, I suppose. Because
I suppose
you have the history and philosophy background, and I have the science background, and we we came together and we share a common interest or a common desire to see this issue raised and talked about and studied and looked at by thoughtful Christians around the world. We like to raise a level of education if we can, publicly speaking. And so you and I, though we have real day jobs, you're a pastor in Idaho, I'm a pastor here in the state of Washington, and we have those day jobs, those week jobs, but nevertheless we get together on occasion and we record these programs, and we do programs in churches sometimes as well.
The seminars and things. Mm-hmm. We try to, in our both of our journeys, though, it's always been kind of a continual education course.
Yes.
I know
so
more science that I never knew before, and you're learning more history and philosophy.
These Greek philosophers. And
all this other stuff we never knew. And so we try to become very well-read in the general basic arguments. Mm-hmm. You can nail us on a few details now and then. We'll just have to say to you, I don't know the specifics of that little particular study, but we do catch, usually when you bring up a particular study, we know the general genre of that area where it came out of, and we can address the bigger issues of that whole area.
We are overviewists. That's, we think, what we bring to the table especially.
Yeah, is an overall picture of all the various
issues.
We can talk.
We
can talk about dinosaur bones, or we can talk about radiometric dating, or we can talk about history. We can talk about philosophy. We can talk, obviously, of course, as pastors, about the Bible and the various issues there. We can talk about biology and complexity, and even the cosmos.
And let's face it, as pastors and just our personalities, we can talk.
Yeah, we get paid by the word, and so we don't get paid on this job. This is our passion, though more
it
isn't. We don't solicit funds here. Though if you have any questions, write them on a $20 bill and send them to the Beagle.
No,
we don't try to solicit funds. If you'd want to do anything, support the radio station, which is carrying this show for you. They'd be appreciative of that. But the whole point is that we believe that you can be a biblical believing person who can believe in the trustworthiness of the Word of God, with history as authority for your life.
Absolutely.
And even from a scientific perspective, and not be an idiot. You're not a moron, an uninformed dweeb, if you don't believe in evolution.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we think that good science supports a scriptural account. We have some questions about popular science as it's now being kind of presented as thoughtful empirical science. There are a lot of influential people in the world of science today that tend to skew, shall we say, data and interpretations and modern views of science toward atheism and materialism, and the data doesn't support that at all. So we think you can be a good, solid, Bible-believing Christian, a God-loving, Jesus-fearing Christian, without giving up your intellectual trust in good scientific study.
Yeah, we like good science, and we don't like bad creationism either, or bad artifacts, or creationists who overstate cases that or use bad, faulty data,
absolutely,
scientific data, to try to prove things.
We're probably harder on them than anybody else,
because they actually weaken what we believe is the greater cause for, which is really not just accepting biblical creation, but really pursuing the truth and discovering the God of Scripture, which is behind it all, and the cross of the Christ.
And if there is something that would just underline it even more for our listeners, is the belief that in these last days that we're living in, according to Revelation 14 and the three angels' messages there, we think that some of these issues are going to be front and center on the Christian field. So this is one of the reasons that pushes us to want to talk and address these issues today.
That's actually a good torpedo text that says that there was another angel, Revelation 14:7, flying in the midst of heaven, have an everlasting gospel spread to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And it says, fear God, give glory to him, the hour of his judgment has come, and worship the Creator,
the
one who made it all. Mm-hmm. And that's our hope, that you Beagle listeners will discover by listening to this show that there is a Creator who loves you.
Amen.
And you'll come to worship him.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends, you're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.